Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. In the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
All right, 402 on the Fan, hour 3 of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here to 6 o'clock, Big Mike, Francesa, of course, will come your way. Ernie Acosta, he's in Manhattan. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio with nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire, nobody.
Joining us right now, once a net, always a net, now a star at Radio.com, NBA insider, and the host of Scalin Pals, Brian Scalabrine. Joe and Evan here. How are you, Brian?
As we said to John Flaherty,
doing well.
He also has a game named after him. Brian,
that's right. The Brian Scalabrine game. Unfortunately, it was all downhill.
Didn't we talk about that last time?
We did, yes. but we had John Flaherty, the former Major League catcher, and he had a game named after him when he played for the Yankees. So you also have that. So I think that's why I brought it up again.
Indeed. Playoff game.
What would a baseball player need to have a game named after him?
Game-winning hit.
Big game-winning hit.
That's it.
So you're saying you did a lot more in your game than a guy who takes one swing.
Yours also was a playoff game as well. So let's throw that in there.
That is
true. Yeah, I mean, I had like 17 in overtime. So everyone remembers that.
Of course.
I didn't know. I wonder if it's like I'm sure the Reggie Jackson game. Didn't he hit three home runs in a game?
Well, I mean, we're not. You know, Brian, we love you, but we're not comparing you to Reggie. Okay,
so no, I'm just wondering. I'm wondering.
Reggie, yes, that's right. When I think of that game, Game 6 of the 1977 World Series, that's exactly right. That's Jackson game.
Brian, there's a lot of things that can happen. That's like correct. For example, in this baseball game we're talking about, Derek Jeter made it this defining defensive play in which he ran into the stands, got all bloody, and made a great catch. So. To many,
that's not the Oakland A game where he cut the
flip play. You're talking about the flip play in the playoffs against Oakland.
Right.
That's what you're talking about.
That's the flip play game. Yes.
So many. I love it. When I was in New Jersey, you have to live in New York to understand the Yankees. I maybe people do outside of it, but it's like I didn't fully understand the whole Yankee thing until I was there, and it was great.
I just
want to say this one thing. You know, you could also have a game named after you that's not a positive. I mean, there is the Charles Smith Memorial with the Knicks in 1993. So you can have a game named after you that's not exactly a good thing. You know,
that
what I
is
mean?
True. Yes, yes.
Can you give me one more example? I just need another one.
Okay, Darren Williams scores 0 points in the postseason against the Miami Heat game. How about that? Is that a good
example? I'll give you a better one, bro.
Yeah, bro.
The Doug Bryan game with the Jets, 2004, right. With all the missed field goals in the divisional playoff game in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those.
There's a lot of them.
I'm glad. Put it this way. I'm so bad that you're not going to remember me if I'm bad. You're only going to remember me if I'm good.
That's a good. You know what? That's a good way to look at it.
That is true.
Assuming we get an NBA restart, I got to tell you, my mindset as a fan has changed because – I went into this as a Net fan thinking, hey, even without Durant, even without Kyrie, let's go. Let's have some fun. You never know. It's a new environment. Maybe they can go on a run. without Wilson Chandler, without DeAndre Jordan, but more especially if Spencer Dinwiddie can't play, and I wish him all the best because he's dealing with side effects from COVID-19, and that is 10 times more important than anything basketball-related. But if Spencer doesn't go, Brian, as a fan, I'm thinking, why bother? Lose out and get the heck out of here. What can you gain with that kind of roster competing? What are your thoughts?
Well, you never know. I mean, you can gain what you're trying to do in that situation is, do you guys think the Nets are going to be a championship-caliber team? Don't answer that yet. Next season. What you're looking for is, like, two dogs that no matter what, no matter what time of day, noon game, 9 p.m. game, they bring it no matter what. And you're looking for that from your roster. That's what I would be looking for. And there's going to be some guys that are playing for jobs. I'll tell you, the Washington Wizards, you know, Brad Beal might not play a lot of minutes. He always tells Bertans kind of backed out. So there'll be an interesting team of a bunch of young, hungry guys looking to make a name for themselves. So if you're into that kind of thing, if you're thinking, yeah, we need to get the seventh, the eighth man next season, you'll see some guys that, you know, maybe fit the bill.
Okay, but here's my concern. So I love Caris LeVert, and I just saw a picture of him. Brooklyn Nets tweeted out a picture. He's got a new look going on, and I love Caris. But what are we going to learn about Caris LeVert when his role next year, next to Kevin Durant, next to Kyrie Irving, is going to be so different? He's going to get the ball in his hands all the time potentially during this, but is that really going to teach us anything about his role next year in this with this team?
No, but it can help his confidence. Think of the guy Eric Gordon from Houston. He had nights when James Harden is out, and he had a 50-point game this year. I think that's what you'll be looking for a Caris LeVert, a guy who can have big nights, he can get it going. He can own a quarter. So, you know, like Caris LeVert, he's been injured a lot. And I don't know how he's looking at this. If he's looking at this as saying, I don't want to go out there and get injured, but right. You can also, you know, make a name for yourself. It's not going to be easy to carve out your way with KD and Kyrie out there. So for him, he's solidifying himself as he wants. I'm sure he does. I hear how hard he works. He wants to be a premier name in the NBA. This could be a step for that.
How confident are you, Brian, that the season's gonna come off? Where are you with that right now?
So I'm super high it's gonna start, and I'm super low it's gonna finish. I just don't know. Like, you guys tell me, this is where where I stand. How many guys have to get it in the bubble to call it off? There's
$1 million
now.
Question.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, it's a million dollar question.
Is it 30?
No,
is it 20? Right, is it 10? Right. And think about it. Think what happened last time. Adam Silver called the NBA off. He postponed it, and the rest of the world shut down. Do you think that that's in the back of his mind? Like, you know what? If I restart this and we can finish this, it's a big deal. Like, it's a huge step in the right direction for the greater good. Mm-hmm. And if 20 guys get it, 30 guys get it, if people start backing out because a teammate gets it, and this thing starts, the wheels start to come loose, and next thing you know, it's like, all right, that's enough. We're going to call it. I think it'll be a huge, huge blow to just what's like our steps to getting back to what quote unquote normal life is.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of us realize we're going to live with the virus for a while, but we all have to make adjustments. And this is a part of it, like a sports scene that's being played out very differently.
Let me ask you this, Brian.
Yeah.
So would you rather not even see it start?
No.
My question is, well, my point is this. Would you rather see it not start, but as opposed to having it start, and then, let's say, 15 games into it, now it's done?
Here's what's going on. So if you're looking forward, right, here's what the NBA owners – and Adam Silver and his group, all the business side, they do not want the season to start next year at an early date. The farther you push it off, so I'm kind of like jumping around here, bear with me. Farther you push it off, the better chance you have of having a vaccine. People are never going to allow 20,000 people to be in an arena without having a vaccine for the coronavirus. That's just how this thing is going to go. So if you could start on Christmas Day, if you could start on January 30th, whatever that time is, I think the NBA owners and everybody want that. So to get to that, you have to try something. You can't stop in March and then pick up again in December. If you stop in March, then you're starting back up in, you know, October, November, and then all of a sudden now you're playing, you know, 40% of your games without fans. So see what the NBA is doing. By doing this, it allows you next year to salvage next season to have as many games as possible in front of spectators. Now, will they ever pull back the reins and adjust back to the normal schedule? I don't know. But I know the best chance of having as many fans as possible next year, because it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're talking about these fans and the tickets that they buy and the corporate sponsors and all that stuff. It's a lot of money there. So now you have to try this so you can get to that down the road.
Put yourself in the shoes of an NBA player still active. You're still playing. You know, you're back with the New Jersey Nets. Would you want to go to this bubble? How would you feel about it?
I'm so different. I feel like, first of all, I like basketball. I love the thing I miss most about retiring was the relationships, like, you know, chopping it up in the locker room, practice, all the funny stuff that happened. When people ask, like, hey, what's your most memorable moment? You would think I would say, oh, the Brian Scalabrine game 5, right? No, it's not that. It's the furthest thing from that. I would probably be like the 25th thing I've picked. It's all the interactions with the guys and the camaraderie of the team and all that stuff. So I would look at it like, this is going to be great. And then second, I would also look at it like, we have an obligation. Maybe I'm different. But I feel like we would have an obligation to people, an obligation to the NBA, an obligation to people who love basketball, to give them something to watch, to give them hope. And what I was kind of talking about earlier about getting this thing back on track, I would think, like, it's really important for us to stay, you know, follow the rules, the 108-page rules, and it's really important for us to do this so we can finish this thing, because it's so much better for the greater good of America getting back on track if we can finish this thing. So that would be my mindset, and I can't speak for how other people think, but that's how I would look at it.
Do you worry at all, and we're talking to Brian Scalabrine, that we get into the playoffs this year, you know, at the bubble, and let's say a team is up 3-0, and that the team that's down 3-0 says, you know what, I can't wait to get the hell out of here. We're not winning anyway, and they kind of mail in game 4. Does stuff like that concern you?
Sure.
You could see
not
that, right?
Concerned. Yeah, that's going to happen. I think your Brooklyn Nets are already mailing it in.
I feel that.
It does seem that way, right? They are mailing, right.
It seems that way. So, I mean, listen, that's going to happen, right? But what do we really watch this for, right? We're going to watch it for the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bucks. We're going to watch and see how Philadelphia handles it. Are they going to be the 29-2 team that was at home? Are they going to be the lottery team that was on the road? We're going to watch the Boston Celtics. Is Brad Stevens, is Kemba Walker finally going to get his chance? How is he going to perform? We're going to watch the people who really want to be there. But I think we're going to have, like, in the first round and those 8 games, it's going to be a little painful. And I wish it wasn't. And I wish I could sit here and tell you, oh, I'm so excited about watching this stuff play. I'm going to be excited about watching New Orleans play Memphis, because those guys are battling for that 8th spot. Mm-hmm. And I think both of them look at it like this. If we can play the Lakers in the first round and we can take a game from these guys, like, how valuable is that for us to square up against LeBron James in the first round, and we could build from this? And moving forward, right, I don't think any of those teams are going to beat the Lakers, but there's a lot at stake when you're thinking about a young team making the playoffs. So I think we'll get that, but there's going to be some teams that mail it in, no doubt.
Yeah. No, and I never mailed in as a fan, but as a fan, I'm looking at this thinking, well, why bother showing up? But, you know, it would be exciting just to see some semblance of basketball for the team I root for. Obviously, I know they're not going on any kind of crazy run. We've heard of names opting out, and people have given pretty good reasons. I mean, I think there's a million good reasons for not showing up. Avery Bradley, Wilson Chandler, Trevor Ariza. If you're a teammate, because you've already said, hey, you want to go, you want to play, you feel there's an obligation, would you talk to your teammates about not opting out, or would you kind of leave it to them to just make their own decision? Or would you apply peer pressure, and do you think players are applying peer pressure on their teammates to come to the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in a position. There's obviously a hierarchy in the NBA. I would not be in that position. The one that really stands out to me is the Avery Bradley with the Lakers, because look at the Lakers team and how they're constructed. They have some decent wings. They have guards that can score. They just added J.R. Smith, and they added, you know, they have Deion Waiters. But they do lack that perimeter force, that perimeter lockdown defender, and that's what Avery Bradley provides. And it's just like when you're winning a championship, it's you got to have multiple tools in your tool belt. You can't just go out there with just like one type of style. You know, you might need a style where you're running and gunning and playing like more three-point shooting. You need a style where you're going to play a hard defensive battle. You're going to need a style where you're going to play against, let's say, Portland makes the first round, and you need to put Avery Bradley on a Damian Lillard, and you need to do it, and he needs to hound him and hawk him, and everywhere he goes, he needs to be there. Just for the body shots of later on in that series, it'll wear him out. So as a coach, you would need all these styles, and Avery Bradley, to me, is the one that stands out more than any of them. If you're LeBron, you're missing Avery Bradley right now, no doubt about that. And I think another one would be like if someone from the Milwaukee Bucks were to opt out. Remember what's going on with Giannis and his situation with the contract. If he doesn't take the Supermax, he can opt out. He could eventually go somewhere else, you know, at the end of next season. But so I think if you don't attend, if you're on the Milwaukee Bucks and you say, I'm not going to go, whatever your reason is, I think it hurts the Bucks. It would hurt, you know, your chances with Giannis. Not saying that he's going to leave because of that. I just think that those guys who are playing for legacies are the ones that would step up and say, "Hey, man, we need every single one of you guys." And not only do we need you to go, but we need you also not to leave and, you know, and go out on your own escapades. We need you locked in and focused. It's a huge commitment and sacrifice if we're going to try to win a championship.
Talking to Brian Scalabrine, who do you think's getting a Nick job, Brian? Coaching job.
I think Thibodeau's going to get it. I mean, his relationship with Leon Rose, and I just think he's the best coach available out there. I played for him. He's great. I think that Thibodeau should be the guy that they hire. And he'll bring a level of intensity, and he'll bring the winning type of culture that I think is sorely needed in New York.
I don't think, Joe, you've seen this. And it's funny and it makes you laugh, but it's actually, it makes a lot of sense when you think about it. And it's something that the great Stephen A. Smith said on TV yesterday. And that was, he's having a tough time imagining NBA players not being able to enjoy recreational activities of the adult variety for 3 months.
Sure.
I totally get that.
Totally get it. And it was funny the way it was delivered, but when you think about it, it's like, well, he's kind of right.
It's a factor. How could it not be?
You can give people video games as much as you want in ping pong tables. It ain't the same,
so
Brian.
Far. The ping pong's only going so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you guys ever see that Seinfeld episode where Elaine and George are
the bet?
And it was the best, right?
Yes.
So I think we're gonna get a little bit of that in the NBA. We're gonna get like, man, there's just something wrong with this guy. He hasn't been himself. And then we're also gonna get like this guy's just been amazing down in the Orlando bubble. It's unbelievable. He's unstoppable down here. So There probably is going to be, you know, and everyone's going to be different. Like every single person will react differently to that. So we'll have to keep an eye on them. I will say this, you know, like there's a huge push for gambling right now. And because a lot of people are sitting at home watching games and they're trying to figure out, I guarantee you that will be trending. And the idea that when this guy is like, you know, James Harden, people have wrote many articles about James Harden, and when he's on the road in cities that have great strip clubs, he plays terrible. His average is 8 points less than it is when he's playing in cities that have terrible strip clubs. So James Harden will be one to watch. Like, will he average 50 points a game when he's in this environment? Because all he is focused on basketball. And there'll be some other guys that, you know, they're always like that. They don't go to strip clubs. They don't do this. They don't do that. Their game might not take a bump at all. So It is going to be interesting. I think the biggest thing is going to be, can guys stay away? Can guys not, you know, like being around your own team for that long and your own, I mean, nobody else, that's not easy to do. That's a huge, huge sacrifice. And I'm interested in seeing if guys are closer or if guys are if teams have more internal issues during this time.
Don't you think that's going to, and all these different things that we're talking about, and something like that kind of really levels the playing field a little more in this bubble?
I do. And I also think that, you know, like I use LeBron James for an example. He's so great as a player, and he's so poised on the road. He can go into any environment. Man, he won Game 7 at Oracle, right? And so I wonder, like, his he can go into the Boston Garden and the crowd can be all over him and it doesn't bother him. Well, in this scenario, I think there'll be a lot more of that out there. There's something to be said about people that have ice water in their veins on the road. Well, this will be an interesting experiment because I think you'll see a lot better play from I want to say average players, average to good players. And, you know, they always say, like, the bench doesn't really travel in the playoffs. And I think in this scenario, you'll get a lot of players that just play extremely well. And it'll be a little surprising because they won't be, you know, the emotions of the game won't get to them. So they'll keep that even keel. They'll keep their poise.
We're talking to Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, and the co-host of Scal and Pals. You know, Giannis said recently this is going to be more difficult to win an NBA championship. In a way, it's going to be even more impressive to win an NBA title. And I think for all the reasons we've just talked about, he's probably right. But I'm not sure if we're all going to look at it that way 20 years from now. If we're going to look back at 2020 and say that championship almost matters more because of the environment they're in. But based on a lot of the stuff we've talked about with this bubble, I do think he's kind of right that getting through this tournament and winning an NBA championship may be the most impressive thing we've seen from a championship run.
Yeah, so there's like a big conversation right now about the asterisk, right? If you win this championship, is it an asterisk? And I agree with you. The sacrifice that you're going to have to make during this championship will be greater than any sacrifice anybody has ever made before. Not being around your family, not doing this 4 months in this bubble, whatever it may be, right? But I will ask you guys this. You guys, well, first of all, answer it quickly. Do you, if a team wins a championship this season, would you put an asterisk by it or not?
No.
So what if LeBron James in the NBA Finals comes up with COVID? Didn't you put an asterisk by it?
Dude, do we put an asterisk next to the Raptors winning an NBA title when the Warriors were destroyed by injuries?
Right.
We
you
don't.
Can't do that.
Yeah, but see, injuries have always been part of the game. The COVID, like, think about it, the Last Dance. Michael Jordan, he played through the flu game. So,
well,
injuries and sickness have always been part of the game. This right now has never been part of the game.
So yeah, but don't you think we're going to look at it as injuries? Like, you're right. You can play through the flu willingly if you wanted to in the past. You're not going to be allowed to play. And I don't buy that Adam Silver is going to hide the drug test.
No,
the
no.
Test.
If the guy, I'm with you.
Yeah, he's. I think we're going to look at it as it's like an injury, just like Kevin Durant got hurt. He came back in the NBA Finals. He got hurt again.
Different. This is different.
You don't think we're going to feel
different.
That way when a guy can't play? The bottom line is they can't play.
No, because it's like we're dealing with like such a – there could be guys, there could be 10 players that get it who are asymptomatic. It's not – it's just different. So I look at it like it's different. I'm not trying to say – I'm not trying to convince you guys.
No, you know what, Brian? To your point, I don't know how we're going to feel. Like if in the middle of the NBA Finals, LeBron James tests positive for COVID – Maybe we are going to look at it and say, oh, it's completely different than an injury. Or maybe we're going to be so used to it because it affected other teams and guys got sick that we're just going to say, yeah, it's a part of this. And it is kind of like an injury. I don't know. I mean, it's all an unknown for us.
Yeah, I feel like if a big time player comes up with COVID, and I'm sure whether it's LeBron James or Giannis or whoever it is, right? It comes up with COVID. I think that we're going to look at this and have like a little bit of an asterisk by it. Listen, the team is still going to – it's going to take a tremendous amount of sacrifice to win it. But this thing is the way that it could spread. You could be playing basketball with a different guy, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, now you have it. Or you could – you know, like there could be one player is a superstar and one player on a team is a bench player, and they both get suspended. That's a completely different thing. So – I kind of look at it like if it all plays out and no one gets hurt and no one gets COVID, or even if they do get hurt but they don't get COVID, I won't look at it like an asterisk. But it depends to me on who has to be eliminated based off of the COVID virus. And I will say this, if LeBron got it, the games will just stop until he's cleared to go.
Well, that's, you know what, it's funny, you know, you say that, and I was thinking that if you forget just LeBron, but if a lot of the big superstars got it, the big superstar guys get it, then I could see them saying, okay, you know, we're not playing now. Right? I mean,
you sure?
Start getting the big players getting it.
I'll give you a scenario. LeBron's up 2-1 in the finals, and he picks it up. The NBA is just going to put it on a 2-week hiatus.
No.
I'm telling you.
No,
there's
play.
No way they're walking
You really
away.
Think that?
No
think that?
Way.
No way. They're not going to blow up the whole thing because of one player.
You can't get to that point and then say, okay, we're going to wait 2 weeks
now. Just a player.
No. I don't think.
King James.
Well, I don't think they're going to stop it. I think that they're. It's just what they're going to have to deal with. They're going to play through it.
Yeah.
I mean, if the entire Laker team got it, that's different.
It would be like the a superstar quarterback breaks his arm in the championship game and he can't play in the Super Bowl. Are they going to stop the Super Bowl from happening?
No, but it's injuries are part of the game. This thing is not. Listen, we don't know what's going to happen when this whole thing goes down. Let me ask you this last question. I don't mean to interview you guys, but
it's all you.
How many people can get it? Like, how many people do you think? What's your over-under? Let's put our betting caps on.
How many people can get it shut it down? Is that what you're saying?
No, not even before they shut it down. Let's just pick the number. Like, the number of people that get the virus when they're in the bubble. I just want to know what you guys are thinking.
Boy,
I don't know. I can't even begin. Well, I mean, what do you want to give me an over-under of, let's say, 25?
Yeah, I'd take the over. That's a good
I'd take
number,
the over,
the
too. Joe, if they get 25 total over 3 months, that's a win.
I'm just throwing it out there.
That's a win. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. That's a win.
I don't know.
It's interesting. Think about it. Like, everything that we've done, everyone thinks they have control over this thing with, if we just wear the mask, if we do this, if we do that. I really believe they don't have any idea. Like, at first it was just wash your hands, and then it changed to, now we got to wear a mask. Now it changed to, on services, it doesn't live
Ryan,
on. I don't think anybody knows.
Think about Spencer Dinwiddie, and I take him at his word. In that interview with Shams, he says, I take a private jet, I follow all the rules, I'm back in New York. He didn't do anything dangerous, and I believe him, and all of a sudden he got it. And he's not asymptomatic, which is scary. He's in bed all day, morning.
Brian, I got in trouble for saying this last week. A couple callers jumped on me, but you could do everything you possibly can do right to prevent yourself from getting this virus. And if you're going to get the virus, you know what? You're going to get it. That's how I look at it.
I agree. I'm 99% agree. I 100% agree. I think, but people walk around thinking that they have control over this thing. We're living in a make believe world. We open up the states and 10,000 people a day are getting it all over the place. Like, no, it's all pretend. There's a bunch of rules in place. Because you have to do it from a legal standpoint, but if you really think you're going to be able to control it, now I'm not saying it's going to run rampant in the bubble like it does in Orlando. It's not going to be like that, but you think you can control this thing. I think that everybody in the NBA, and I think they probably understand that we're doing the best job we can, but I don't think there's any control over this. It's like you're either going to get it or you're not going to get it.
Yep. Yeah.
We shall see. Brian, always great talking to you. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
See you,
Thank you, man.
See you, Brian.
Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, co-host of Scal and Pals, an all NBA podcast which you can check out at Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.